Well, it is the joy to be back home and get to fellowship with precious brothers and sisters that we don't get to see all that often. Come over and visit us, okay? Come visit us. We want to consider a topic that's familiar for most of us, and yet I believe the Lord wants to breathe something fresh into our hearts through this topic, considering pressing on into the Holy of Holies. Pressing on, pressing into, going further in God, into the Holy of Holies. Now, the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation teach us that we can go on with God, closer to his heart, into higher levels of spiritual experience. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, most of us know that we can be transformed from glory to glory, from one level of glory to a higher level, more and more conformed to the image of Christ. In Psalm 84:7, it's precious to us that we can go from strength to strength until we can all appear before God in Zion. But we find teachings of progressing deeper into God's plans, into God's presence, into his power, to be given us in more detail in the tabernacle of Moses. So we're just going to use this as a framework to trust that God will bring us into something deeper, a deeper cry and a deeper experience this morning. Moses built a tabernacle as a dwelling place for God. And as we learn about this tabernacle, it teaches us spiritual truths about how we can draw nearer to the Lord, closer to his heart, closer into his presence and power. And we're all familiar with the fact that there are three parts to Moses' tabernacle: the outer court, the large outer courtyard exposed to the sun, and then in the tabernacle or tent, there were the two sections, the larger holy place that the priest would first enter into, and then the very exclusive, smaller Holy of Holies that only the high priest was permitted once a year to go into the very presence and glory of God. But as these show us deeper experiences in God, drawing closer to his presence, to his glory, we want to learn how we can develop our own relationship with God, because we are all to be part of the New Testament dwelling place of God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" As we collectively are the temple or the New Testament tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, how can we spiritually go on into the depths of God's purposes, into the Holy of Holies, as typified in Moses' tabernacle, and so that we can experience more of his mercy, of his glory, and his power? Well, let's take a very quick overview of the foundations of this whole subject. The outer court was the large outer section of the tabernacle, and that was where all of the Israelites, all of God's people, were welcome to come and offer sacrifices to God. That through the blood of the animal sacrifices in the outer court, a person's sin or a family's sin could be atoned for. This was where all of God's people were welcome to, into the outer court. But then there was the more exclusive holy place inside the tent or tabernacle. That was the section of the tabernacle that only the priests were invited to enter into. And there they performed their ministries. And if we will fully dedicate our lives to Christ, we can also be like these priests and learn how to enter into the spiritual fulfillment of what they did in type and shadow. One thing they did in the holy place was they placed the bread, the show bread, fresh bread was there every day, and it spiritually speaks of how we, as the servants of God, want to be able to study the scriptures and every day receive fresh manna, fresh bread from heaven that will be for our strengthening, and that with that we will be able to give a word in season to those that are weary, that we will have the word of the Lord that will make a difference in the lives of those that we are around and that we reach out to. Then there was the golden candlestand, comprised of seven different branches with the oil on top burning bright. This is what lit up the holy place. And these seven candlesticks speak of the anointings of the Holy Spirit shown to us, first of all, in Revelation 4:5, that these are the seven candlesticks in heaven that are the seven spirits of God, the different anointings of the Holy Spirit, listed for us in Isaiah 11:2, that rested upon Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, number one, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Seven different anointings that were revealed there in the holy place for the priests. And if we will be the priests of God, we can enter in to be experiencing these anointings also. And some people say, well, the Spirit of might, that was important for Samson. But how many of us carry around huge gates today? Not very many, but I can remember a time when my wife and I were newly married and we were staying at an apartment right next to a busy city street. And my wife was there at the living room window inside on the couch having her morning devotions. And she looked out and she saw a big, strong man walking by on the street, their eyes crossed, and she turned back to her Bible reading. And then she was shocked a few seconds later when he had marched off the street onto the church property and opened the door. He was over 200 pounds, and she was alone in the house. And it was confirmed later that he came from a family of murderers and rapists. And as she came through the door, the Spirit of might fell upon my not 200-pound wife, okay? And she rose up and, in the name of Jesus, and threw him out of the apartment and then locked the door. So it can be very useful at the appropriate times, okay? But not just for natural might. How many times do we go through pressures and spiritual battles, and emotionally we go through struggles and difficult times where we need the Spirit of might? That spiritually speaking, we can say what David said, by my God, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, we still need the anointings of the Spirit of might. Another one of the anointings was the Spirit of wisdom. And we all need wisdom if we are going to accomplish anything for God. God can give us a calling, but without wisdom, we won't know how to fulfill it. Or we'll fulfill it very imperfectly and without maximum effect. Back 5 years ago, when we were getting ready to build our ZMI Bible School campus in the Philippines, we had blueprints, we had a builder, and then all of a sudden, because of two heart operations, our builder had to drop out. And in 2008, there was the worldwide economic collapse, and we felt we couldn't use the former plans. We had to build something smaller that would still be functional, but would be as economical as possible. And the buck ends here, okay, in the Philippines. So I had to come up with plans, and I think I built a birdhouse and wood shop in high school almost 50 years before, but that doesn't quite qualify you to build, you know, a big campus with buildings, 1,000 square meter floor space. But we cried out to God, and God gave wisdom and supernatural grace. And as we were getting ready to dedicate it, Pastor Bailey sent a video, and he said as he prayed, the Lord showed him that the campus was built and would declare the testimony of the Spirit of wisdom of what God had done when man was totally incapable, yet what God is able to do. And so for those of you who have never visited, come. But if you haven't yet, we just want to give you a little bit of a glimpse of the Bible School campus, the main building on the right and the men's dorm on the left. You know, God has just given grace for something beautiful and very functional to be established as a center of the over 12 Bible schools that we have in the Philippines and in four other Asian nations. We have developed in the last year or two a number of beautiful gardens, a prayer garden here, different places that the students can go and pray and wait on the Lord. But the most beautiful garden of all is in the classroom sanctuary where we're training the students in the Word of God, where they're blooming as the garden of God, and where we're gathering pastors for gatherings several times a year, where the people are being trained to become a mighty army for the Lord in the Philippines. The spirit of wisdom is needed if we're going to accomplish things of significance for the kingdom of God. So, Brother Stephen, may the Lord give you the spirit of wisdom, okay, and your new responsibilities coming up, as we heard the testimony last night. And may we all receive more wisdom from God, because the famous and very effective pioneer missionary over 100 years ago, Hudson Taylor, said, God's will done God's way will have God's provision. Amen. God's will done God's way. That's where we need the wisdom. We'll have God's provision. And so we need to enter into the experiences, the anointings of God's Spirit that will strengthen us, that will give us wisdom, that will help us to make an impact in this world for Christ and His kingdom. There's also the table, the altar of incense in the holy place. And David wrote in Psalm 141, too, he said, "Let my prayer come before you as incense." He knew the spiritual meaning, and that's also repeated in the book of Revelation, that even as they offered incense in the holy place, it's that our prayers will ascend before the throne of God and come to His mercy seat, as exemplified as the incense would go through the veil into the Holy of Holies. And there in that Holy of Holies, not the priests in general, but only one man, the select high priest, was able to go in, not every day for ministry like the holy place, but once a year he was able to enter the Holy of Holies to perform a very specific and mighty ministry. He would go in with the incense billowing forth from the holy place. He would go in with blood of the animal sacrifice to sprinkle on the top of the Ark of the Covenant on the mercy seat. And when he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, that you can study in Leviticus and other scriptures, it released God's forgiveness and blessing upon the whole nation of Israel. Remember, the blood of the sacrifice in the outer court could forgive a person's sin or a family sin. The blood that was sprinkled in the holy place sanctified the ministry of the priests at the seven golden candlesticks, at the table of showbread, at the altar of incense. But the blood brought nearest to God, to His very mercy seat, had much more amplified power. It was the blood with power to cleanse a nation. And so by God's grace, we want to learn how to enter deeper and deeper into God's workings, as exemplified in Moses' tabernacle. There's the parts of the tabernacle from the outer court to the holy place to the Holy of Holies. And we find that the outer court was available for all of God's people to enter. But if the Lord would so prepare us, we can be the priests that can enter into the holy place and experience much more and be much more effective in God. But if the Lord would be so merciful, we want to be hidden in Christ, our high priest, that we can enter the Holy of Holies. The source of light in the outer court was the natural sun shining down on the outer court. In the holy place, inside the tent, it was the movings of the Holy Spirit that worked. But in the Holy of Holies, there was no light except the supernatural glory of God. And as we mentioned, the power of the blood in the outer court could cleanse a person or family. But in the holy place, it cleansed the works of the ministry. But in the Holy of Holies, the power of the blood is able to transform and cleanse a nation. And so we want, by God's grace, to learn how to enter in more and more from the outer court into the holy place. And by God's mercies, come into the Holy of Holies, where we can experience and release the great glory and power of God. So how can we enter in to this Holy of Holies? It wasn't for all of God's people. It wasn't for all of the priests. Only one man once a year. And what that speaks to us, as it was the high priest of Israel that was able to enter in, the book of Hebrews tells us that Christ is our high priest now. He is the one that has gone within the veil into heaven, to the throne of God, where the true mercy seat is, and where the true sprinkling of the blood has brought cleansing for the nations. But we need to learn how to become hidden with Christ in God, that in Christ we also have access into the Holy of Holies. So we can read in Colossians 3, verse 2 and 3, that we are hid with Christ in God. We are to set our affection on things above. And if we're hid with Christ in God, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, if it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, the life we live can be the life of Jesus Christ shining through us. And that life can bring us into the Holy of Holies. But we need to have this consecration where we are not living our own life, where we're carrying our cross daily, where we have died to the things of the natural, and the life of Christ arises within us to shine forth the power and the grace and glory of God. So we need to learn how to be hid with Christ, and the high priest needed incense to enter the Holy of Holies. As we mentioned, prayer, intercession. As we learn to intercede and draw nearer to God, that will be one of the ingredients, one of the keys that can unlock for us access into the Holy of Holies. We must come with the blood, not the blood of bulls and of goats, but as of a spotless lamb, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Through the blood of Christ, we have boldness to enter before the mercy seat and the throne of grace. But it was only on the Day of Atonement, the day when mercy and cleansing was released to all of God's people, that the high priest went in and released this blessing upon the nation. Only the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is near the end of the Jewish calendar year. And it speaks prophetically for us that the spiritual experience of the Day of Atonement will be experienced by the worldwide church near the end, not of our calendar year, but of the church age. As the church draws near a completion, we will come to the Day of Atonement, which will prepare the church for the Feast of Tabernacles, which immediately follows the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Harvest, through which the gospel will be effectively preached through all the world. There will be a great harvest from every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. And after the gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, then the end will come, and we will see the return of our King. Hallelujah. But we need to understand what the Day of Atonement means. I would encourage you, study. What are the truths of the Day of Atonement? What does God want to do now through us as we are hid with Christ in God? That we will not just be in the outer court releasing forgiveness and blessing to individuals and families, where we will not just be the priests in the holy place experiencing gracious anointings, doing the work of God, yes. Oh, but if God would be so pleased, let us press on in God. Let us press on to the high call of God in Christ, the calling he has given to Zion Fellowship, that we would enter the Holy of Holies, where there will be the power to impact the nations. Amen. And so as the world grows more spiritually dark and sinful in our days, we need to arise and press in to the Holy of Holies, where the glory of God abides, that we, the people of God, we, Zion Fellowship, will be able to reveal the glory of the Lord. Pastor Wallace was speaking yesterday on how the world is growing darker. Just as we come back every couple of years, we see America changing. We see standards of morality falling, of so much corruption that becomes commonplace in society and is happening around the world. The world is growing darker, and it's time for the people of God to shine brighter, to arise and shine, for our light has come, for the glory of the Lord to arise upon us. And that scripture in Isaiah goes on to talk about how those from Sheba and from what are the Middle East nations, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, will be coming to the glory of the Lord. The Muslim nations will be impacted in these last days, and they are already becoming impacted. As we've heard the wonderful testimony from Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation in the world. The government stopped printing statistics on how quick the church is growing because they're embarrassed. They're a Muslim nation that's embarrassed on how fast Christianity is growing. In the nation of Uganda, 40 years ago, 70% of the nation was Muslim, 30% Christian. Now, it's 30% Muslim, 70% Christian. And we could share so many testimonies of what God is doing in the Islamic nations. But 4 years ago, just before the start of what's been termed Arab Spring, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I am beginning to shake the Islamic nations of the world. And I will prove to the world that Islam does not have the answers for the problems of the world. Now, many of us were around back in the late 80s when the Iron Curtain fell Eastern Europe, where they broke down the Berlin Wall, where communism became defunct as a hope for the world. In our day, God is exposing through his shakings that Islam doesn't have the answers. It's a bunch of dictators, kings trying to hold on to power, fragmented people that cannot accomplish the bringing peace or goodness to the world. But in Haggai 2 and in Hebrews 12, most of us know that it says, in the last days, God is going to shake all nations to prepare the world for the coming of Christ. That the world will see that the systems of this world do not have the answers for the needs of man. It will only be Christ, the desire of all nations, that will be able to answer that. But he's been shaking the Islamic nations. He'll continue to do that in the next years. We've been able to make an impact in a number of Islamic nations. We've got graduates from ZMI Philippines that have churches in Dubai and Qatar and Saudi Arabia and secret Bible schools in some of those nations. And in Brunei, we were able to help found what's now 11 Zion churches in the nation with up to 1,000 people attending the different congregations. And just about 3 weeks ago, one of our ZMI Philippines staff was preaching in Mecca. And as he was preaching at this secret church meeting, the power of God came and took the place. And the pastor later said, he said, it was like Jesus came and walked in our midst. Don't we want Jesus walking in Mecca? Amen. Jesus coming to reveal himself through Zion brethren that are being raised up by the Lord from the nations. And we're going to the strongholds of the enemy, to Indonesia, the biggest Muslim nation, to Mecca itself. When Jesus went to the lower parts of the earth, he took the keys of death and of hell. We want Jesus to come to Mecca. We want Jesus to come to Iran. We want Jesus to come to all of the nations of the world and visit and raise up a people of power and glory. But after the Lord spoke to me that he was going to start shaking the Islamic nations and prove Islam did not have the answers for the world's nation, then the Lord immediately followed after that and said something that I was not quite so easy to rejoice about. Then the Lord said, and after that, I will visit the democratic nations of the world and shake the democracies of the world and prove to the world that democracy does not have the answers for the world's problems. And in the Philippines, here in America, even in Jakarta, we live in democratic nations. And we've already begun to see shakings and seen how the weak foundations in our societies could just bring complete collapse in coming years. Put your seatbelts on. We're in the last days. Okay? And the anointings that brought victory yesterday are not enough to bring the anointings tomorrow, because the world is getting darker. The devil is getting more desperate that his time is short. He's working double time, triple time. And we, the people of God, must arise and shine to bring the glory and the power of the Holy of Holies to the nations. God is inviting us to press in our spiritual lives, to more of God, into what is available in the Holy of Holies, as shown in Moses' tabernacle. He wants us to press in. And when we do such, the nations will be more and more impacted by the Lord. And so we want to learn how to get closer into the holy place so that we can have a greater impact in this world. We have in the book of Esther a prophetic foreshadow of what it is to enter into the holy place before the throne of God to the mercy seat. Because she, in her day, entered into the king's throne room. Significant, prophetic of the throne room of the King of Kings in heaven. And there, as she was invited to approach the king and touch his scepter, receive mercy from him, everyone that the king did not hold out his golden scepter to would be cut down, killed by the guards, if they would dare approach the throne of the king. Well, we, in a similar way, are invited to come boldly before the throne of God in heaven, in our intercession, in our prayer, in our worship, in drawing near to the heart of God, so that we will also be able to obtain deliverance, not just for the people and families, the power available in the outer court, not just to have good, powerful anointings, praise the Lord for that, that's available in the holy place. But God, by his mercy, may he bring us into the Holy of Holies, where we can come boldly before the throne of God and find it not to be a throne of judgment, but a throne of grace, a place at the mercy seat where the blood of Jesus brings cleansing for us and for the nations. There was another man who pressed in to the Holy of Holies in his days. He was a young coal miner. That was his life's work from when he was a young teenager. And when he became an adult, he entered into a very unusual prayer life, where when he lived in a boarding house, and every night after 12 hours in the mines, he would go to the boarding house, he would pray, he would weep, he would moan, he would travail for his nation, and his landlady kicked him out and said, "You're scaring all the other people in the boarding house, all your weeping and moaning and groaning. You can't live here anymore." Had to find a different place to be noisy, calling out on the Lord. But he began to experience unusual experiences, drawing near the Lord, coming into his presence and into his glory. And when he became a Bible school student, and I think it was the age of 23, he was only there a few weeks. I don't tell this whole story to the ZMI students in the Philippines, okay? Don't tell them. He was there a few weeks, and the Lord visited him and called him to leave Bible school. That's the part I leave out, okay? And told him, "Go back to the young people in your church." And the Lord gave him a vision as he was there, interceding for the nation and for his people. And he walked up to his roommate in the dorm room after this meeting with God. And the dorm mate said his face was shining like the sun. And he said to his roommate, he said, "The Lord has shown me he's going to lift up the nation of Wales into the heavenlies. There's going to be a great revival. We've got to go and get ready. We've got to organize preaching teams to travel around the nation." And he said to his roommate, "Do you believe God will give us 100,000 souls? And the anointing was so powerful in that dorm room. His dorm mate and friend just said, "I believe." Don't escape when God is moving, okay? And so he went back home, back to his home church. And when he walked in the door to his parents' house, his mom meeted him and said, "Heavens, why are you home? Are you sick?" And he said, "No, Mom, God sent me back here." "You left Bible school? What's wrong?" The Lord sent me back here to preach at the church." So he went to the pastor. Pastor didn't believe it. He said, "Well, you know, we've got Sunday service organized. You come Monday night to, you know, the prayer meeting. We'll see. We'll see. And so he attended the Sunday service, attended the Monday night prayer meeting, wasn't even invited to say a word at the prayer meeting. After the pastor closed it, then he said, folks, we've got young Evans here, just back from Bible school. He feels he has a message for us. If anyone wants to stay, you can stay, but prayer meeting is dismissed. 17 people stayed, and young Evan Roberts, the coal miner, had a message from God. And they started to get impacted, and the pastor noted that, and he said, let's have young Evans come back tomorrow night, and if anyone wants to come, we'll hold another service. More people came. Then by Wednesday, the power of God started to fall on the gathering. By Friday, that town and the towns around it were being woken up in the morning by the crowds of people gathering at all of the churches early in the morning to call upon the Lord. And within 2 weeks, this revival was making national headlines, where they were saying in the national paper, they said, oh, remarkable religious revival is now taking place in the town of Lahore. The place has been besieged by dense crowds of people. There's so much excitement everywhere that the road into town is packed with people from end to end coming for the religious services. After a few weeks, Evan Roberts gathered a group of young people and traveled around to the different towns and cities, singing and testifying and spreading the revival. And after 1 month, it was written in the newspapers, God's presence is felt everywhere in the nation, in the homes, on the streets, in the mines, the factories, the schools, even in the drinking saloons. The people were getting convicted and leaving their alcohol behind and crawling on their knees to the church to find salvation. The police didn't have anything to do anymore, so they made themselves singing choirs and traffic directors for the multitudes coming to all the churches around the nation in revival. The darling of the nation, the soccer team. Nobody came to the soccer events anymore of the national team. But the soccer guys didn't mind because they'd all gotten saved and they didn't want to play soccer. They were going to the churches giving their testimonies. And the whole nation was impacted. And within 6 months, God had given them 100,000 souls. One man, a coal miner, pressed in to the Holy of Holies and gained the power to impact a nation. One orphan girl who became a queen, pressed in to gain the authority to impact the nations. My namesake, the Holmeses, came from the nation of Scotland, and John Knox is the national hero of the nation. Back when the Protestant Reformation began 1,500 years ago, he was converted under the preaching of the first born-again preacher in Scotland. And that man was martyred for his faith by the Catholics, by the Catholic queen. And John Knox was imprisoned as a slave. For years, he rowed a ship among the slaves in the galley. Most of them would die within a year or two. He hung on because his lifelong prayer became, Lord, give me Scotland, or I die. He was miraculously released when he started preaching. Revival went wherever he was, but he was always approaching the throne of grace with his lifelong prayer. Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Revival spread through the nation. And the reigning queen, Queen Mary of Scotland, said, there is one thing I fear more than the armies of England. England was, you know, is just south of Scotland. She said, there's one thing I fear more than the armies of England. She said, it's the prayers of John Knox. And the prayers of John Knox prevailed. The evil queen had to flee. The Protestant Reformation swept through the nation. And today their national hero is still John Knox. And when my wife was young and ministering in Scotland, with great reverence, they brought her into the humble little home that this Scottish peasant was born in. And there, at his birthplace, was the big brass plaque on the wall of his lifelong prayer. Lord, give me Scotland or I die! He didn't die. God gave him Scotland. And who will go? Who will press in? who in our day will enter the Holy of Holies and find out what power can and should be and will be revealed to the nations of the world. Will we be content as Christians in the outer court where there's cleansing, where you know, our lives are fine, our families are okay? Is that enough? Or are we hungry for more? Will we press in to the holy place where we'll have the fresh man, and we'll have the word of the Lord, we'll have the anointings of the Holy Spirit? That's wonderful. We need it. But there's so much more available in God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. And it's been prophesied in freshness in the Philippines. It was prophesied recently here in at Zion. I think it was maybe Zion Chapel or maybe yesterday. I don't remember. Ask of the Lord rain in the time of lettering. This is near the end of the church age. It's time for the later rain to come and mature the whole harvest of the nations of the world. But we need to ask. We need to press in. Sometimes we are waiting for God, but I believe we are entering into the timing of God where we don't have to wait for God. I believe God is waiting for us. There's a big difference. Yes, there's the sovereignty of God and the free will of man that must agree. And there's times we need to wait for the Lord. There are silent years. There are years of preparation. But then there are times when the Lord says, it's not time to wait anymore. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent will take the kingdom. Those that press in will find there are new experiences available in the day of His power. And that is the season that we are entering into that will fulfill what's said in Zechariah 2:11, and many nations will be joined to the Lord in that day. I believe a prophetic scripture for Zion Fellowship in these last days. In Revelation 10:11, it says, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Pastor Bailey went through many nations as a prophet of God, giving the word of the Lord, speaking the word of the Lord, like once in Kenya, and giving a word for the nation. And afterwards, the president came up to him and said, I've heard from God today. I'm going to follow what God said. And the nation was protected from war for many years. He went in New Zealand. Pastor David could tell all his stories, and I'd like to hear a bunch sometime, of the great revival that happened when Pastor Bailey helped shepherd a revival there that raised up the largest church in the nation and sent missionaries around the world. In the Philippines, Pastor Bailey helped raise up the charismatic move of God, as he did in many nations, acknowledged as a prophet, energizing the people of God, but even a prophet to the kings or modern-day presidents. When he once gave, sent a prophecy to President Makapakalo Royo in a time of great crisis, and that prophecy helped her turn the corner in her presidency. It has happened in the past, but the mantle of Pastor Bailey has been given to us. It's been given that we are to go forward and finish the work that he began. He started building Bible schools. It's our responsibility to carry on and accomplish the full work of God, to raise up Bible schools in every nation, and also to be a prophetic light to the nations. I think it was Pastor Karam last night was saying, we are called to be a prophetic fellowship from the anointing of Pastor Bailey, from God's calling upon us, that we are to go with the word of the Lord, not just teachings, but the word of the Lord and the move of the Spirit to the nations of the world, and help build up a triumphant, victorious church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. In Mecca, in Indonesia, in China, in the Philippines, Canada, Pastor Heyer? Okay, we got a amen, okay? Wherever we are, that God will arise, His enemies will be scattered. When? when a people of God press in and get breakthroughs, breakthroughs that are prefigured by the signs in the heavens, breakthroughs that are being prophesied, that we have to believe and that we need to respond to. That our hearts will be crying out, yes, Lord, it is your time to move. Lord, help us to move with you. Help us to not frustrate the grace of God, but to let the full grace of God, that amazing grace of God, bring us past the outer court, through the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat offers power for the nations. A few months ago, near the end of last year, the Lord Jesus appeared to me. And he said, a simple but very profound message, he said, it's time for a new garment. And in this vision, he beckoned me to follow him. And as I followed him, we entered into what seemed to be a large outer courtyard. It wasn't exactly Moses' tabernacle, but it was an outer courtyard with a lot of people milling around. And as I saw the multitude of people there, it was easy for me to identify that a lot of them were preachers there in the outer court. And as he beckoned me to follow him, we went past so many of these people, good men, good women, servants of God, and we went past a group of, a wardrobe, you could say, of garments that were thick, strong coats. That if you wore one of these coats, you could overcome through the wind, the rain, the cold, the sleet, the heat of the sun, all weather coat. And I understood that if a person wore that garment, they could be an overcomer through every season and trial of life. But the Lord was walking on. That was in the outer court. We went a little farther in the outer court into another group of garments. And these garments were not rough, strong coats and mantles. These were very finely tailored suits, the most exquisitely dignified and skillfully crafted suits. And I was made to know that if someone wore these garments, they would be welcome into the biggest churches, to the best pulpits in the world. But that was still in the outer court. And the Lord was saying, come in further. And we were going on past these things. And he said, we're going to go in into the Holy of Holies, where the valuable garments are. Victory in every season of life? That sounds pretty valuable. Preaching in all the mega churches, that sounds like the dream of a lot of preachers. Those are outer court. God wants us to take us in where the real power is. I believe it's available. I don't believe, I've had tiny little glimpses of it so far, but I believe this is a season to press in to God. It's not when we are to wait for the Lord anymore. Now he's waiting for us. And we need to boldly, by the blood of Christ, press in to the Holy of Holies, where we will find the power to fulfill God's call upon Zion Fellowship. That we will arise and shine, that the glory of the Lord will come to the nations, and Kedar and Saudi Arabia, Yemen, the Middle East, will come to the brightness of his rising. Where Asia, where over 4 billion people, 58% of the world's population is, will be impacted for the gospel. An area of the world that has not known the gospel. Very small percentage in most of the nations until recent years. But now Indonesia is maybe 20% Christian and rising fast. I'm friends with a national leader of a people group of 3 million, the Naga people that live in the corner of India, Myanmar, and China. And he said they had a great revival. It's spoken of in Operation World's book of Patrick Johnson, if you use that for prayer. Patrick Johnson summarized it. He said, in 1976, among the Naga people, 2% were Christian. 2 years later, 2% of the Naga people were not yet Christian. 98% born again in that great revival that swept this people group of 3 million. God is beginning to arise to shake the nations. And while America might seem backslidden, might be hard and cold, the plowing might be tough, or some of you missionaries are in relatively new mission fields and you're not seeing the harvest like is being seen in Indonesia and China and Southeast Asia, the Philippines, where you might just be breaking up the rocks and just breaking your back, just digging the foundations out. But that's all right. Because the day of an abundant harvest will come. Be faithful. Despise not the day of small things. Despise not the little things of God. But let us go on from wherever God has us into the fullness and the greatness of what He is offering. We want, by God's grace, to enter into the fullness of God's purposes, into His glory, into the greatness of His power. And if the Spirit of God is stirring you, let's say to the Lord this morning, yes, Lord, by Your grace I come. Lord, I cry out. I don't want to be content with enough for myself. I don't want to be content with enough for my church. Lord, You have called Zion Fellowship to impact the nations of the world. I'm a part of that, Lord. And each one of us can play a gracious part in seeing how God will arise through the nations to accomplish His great purposes in these last days. He's starting to shake more and more nations around the world. The end is coming nearer. And with these blood moons coming up, we're going to find out what else gets shaken. But the whole purpose of God allowing difficulties in the last days is to encourage us to press in, get serious with God, and realize days of trial are days of opportunity when we can press in and see what God will accomplish through an orphan girl who becomes a queen, through a coal miner that impacts a nation, through a peasant boy that forever transforms his nation. We can add our own names. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher, get a hold of God in prayer. It doesn't matter if we're famous in this world, that doesn't last long. What's important is if we draw near the throne of grace, if we've got that heart's cry, I will not let you go until you bless me. Lord, give me the Philippines, give me Southeast Asia or I die. What are we crying out to God for? What are we believing God for? He's a big God and He wants us to pray big also. He wants us to prepare for the big, for the greatness of His purposes. He's going to have a triumphant church in all the world. He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That is assured. The only thing that is not yet assured is how much of a gracious portion, of a gracious inheritance and reward will you and I have in that triumphant church. That's the unknown factor. Because God will accomplish His purposes. Oh, but how much will we reach up and grab the hand of God in His grace that is reaching down to us? How serious will we be that we don't just continue on in the same old patterns, that we're flexible, that we're responsive, that we break through the holy place into the Holy of Holies? And if I may please, I asked Pastor David, and he said, well, whatever you think, if you got time, just go for it. Why don't we, Pastor Jason, do you have a song? Sure. And let's, after we've tuned our hearts to the Lord, let's spend a short season praying. We've been hearing yesterday such fine messages of the signs of the times, of how God is beginning to arise and what He wants to do through us, through you. But let's be those that begin in a new way to respond. And as we respond, the grace of God can work in a new way in each of our lives. Amen.